What would the board like to do at this point? We could take a 10-minute break, or we could just continue.
I'd like to stretch.
You'd like to stretch? Okay, all right. Dr. Hunter has asked, and I agree that we should do that. Okay, so we'll take a break for 10 minutes, and we'll come back, and then the board will discuss what to do. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and finish things up. That was a long 10 minutes.
Can we hear from Lisa on the next steps?
Yes. Okay, let's go.
Okay, Lisa McCann of our staff is going to discuss next steps. So, Lisa?
Thank you. I am Lisa McCann. I'm the environmental program manager that's been helping manage development of the agricultural order, and I would like to recommend a few next steps going forward and also make some attempt to wrap this long day during the dinner hour. See how that goes. In general, as next steps, we recommend continuing to solicit public input and evaluate comments for a couple more months, that we make it clear that we're ending this informal preliminary public comment period that was opened up in February when we posted these preliminary draft recommendations, and then set a goal to bring a revised order or orders, perhaps, to the board in February. And I'll elaborate on those steps in a moment. But I just want to loop back around and review the context that we've been talking about all day today in which we're making these suggestions for next steps. So again, just want to recognize how big a challenge we have before us. We recognize the cultural and economic value of agriculture on the Central Coast. We also know that we have serious water quality problems, pollution from irrigated agricultural discharges that are affecting drinking water and impacting aquatic life, fish, and ecosystems. The communities with the polluted drinking water and or degraded creeks and estuaries are paying to clean the drinking water as well as to restore the environment. We all have a right and desire for clean water, and the Water Board is the agency responsible for and obligated by law to respond to these water quality and environmental conditions and must regulate discharges of waste, in this case from irrigated agriculture, to meet water quality goals and protect beneficial uses. So for our next steps, we first would like to continue soliciting public input the way we've been doing for the last several months and have time to evaluate comments from about May through August. Our public outreach efforts to date have resulted in broad interest and engagement as evidenced by the number and breadth of comments that we've received in writing as well as the turnout today. And the content of many of the comments has been meaningful and constructive and has already caused us to consider some changes to the recommendations that we posted in February. Commenters have expressed both general support as well as general objections from many points of view, and they've also presented specific improvements or changes that would make the order clearer, better focused on goals, or more implementable. As mentioned earlier, staff has not had time to fully review all the comments, and we need additional time to determine how best to respond to or to integrate these comments into revisions or to adjust the draft order. Our public outreach going forward to help with that would focus on development of the specific requirements, timeframes, and milestones, and to work with those who have said that they are willing to collaborate to help make that clearer. And we would anticipate, in this case, working specifically with those who have commented on the individual issues. To date, our outreach has focused more on informing all stakeholders about the water quality conditions, explaining the framework, and the general requirements in the preliminary draft order. As part of that, or moving on, we recommend continuing today's workshop in July in Watsonville so that people in the northern part of the region who did not come today can address the board. If we're going to go ahead and have that workshop in July, we further recommend that any new comments be submitted no later than June 4th. This is to ensure we're able to distribute any new comments to board members as well as post that information additionally on the website and make it available to the public prior to the July workshop. And then we also would be able to summarize those in a written staff report in advance of the July workshop. Second, I mentioned that we recommend that we end the preliminary public comment period that we opened up in February. And really, I just wanted to make it explicit that we all agree to close this what seems like an open-ended opportunity that we've created over a several-month period for preliminary comments. If you extend that through the July board meeting, which I think is scheduled for July 8th, that will have amounted to 6 months of time for this preliminary engagement on the specific draft recommendations. This would ensure that we can shift our focus from managing additional comment letters and issues specific to what people like or don't like about the preliminary draft recommendations to actually working through changes and revisions and putting together a revised or a different order that we could bring to the board for consideration. Also wanted to remind everybody that we won't necessarily be responding to each and every comment that we've gotten during this preliminary and informal period, but we will explain in future staff report how we've responded to or used the information in the substantive comments when we bring any revisions to the order before the board. And here by substantive comments, I'm really referring to those comments that have been made by multiple commenters and focus on ways we can improve the recommendations to develop a workable order. By closing this informal public comment period, it does not mean that people will not have opportunity to comment further. At a minimum, we will be doing outreach and talking directly with the various stakeholders and folks who have already commented in order to resolve the issues and put together a revised draft order. And then beyond that, when the revised draft order is posted for public comment opportunity, general public and people who may not have individually been involved with that would still have the opportunity to provide comments in response to that draft. And then finally, we want to set a goal to bring a revised order or orders to the board at the February 2011 board meeting. That meeting is not yet scheduled, so we don't know what date it is. This would require us to have a revised draft order available in November of this year, approximately, for public to make available for public comment. In conclusion, we're committed to developing an order, orders that adequately regulate agricultural pollution to improve and protect water quality and aquatic habitat. That concludes my comments, and I'll take any questions, or I'm interested in what you think about these next steps.
Yeah, Lisa, will staff be commenting on the alternatives that have been submitted?
We certainly can. I think what we were looking to do was to look at what aspects of those alternatives best inform what our next recommendation would be. So we could evaluate them as wholesale alternatives, but we thought it might be more productive to comment on the specific parts of the various alternatives that we've been submitted that we think are most informative or balance the issues.
I think it would be helpful.
Revised order.
I think it would be helpful for the board if staff did comment in their entirety on those alternatives. And there is a letter from one of the attorneys, Francis, that speaks mostly to the legal argument that I think would be helpful if we had either staff's comment on that or your memo on that.
Just to clarify what the recommendation was basically a continuation of this workshop to provide an opportunity for those folks, presumably up north, who didn't have a chance to address the board today, as opposed to a redo. So I want to make sure that's clear.
Okay, does that conclude staff's comments? Okay.
Yes, it does.
All right. Board, time to talk?
Well, just one other observation I would make is as far as you were asking for, complete comments on the alternatives, And I guess another way of looking at it is that I think it's fair to say that each one of the alternatives, including ours, is really a modification of the 2004 order. I think the OSR, is that, are those the right initials, probably had more reliance on the existing waiver. Your groups relies on the existing waiver with additions and modifications, and ours does too. I mean, we throughout our draft, we notated where it's existing in the order. So really, I think what we were looking at was continuing to look at what are the most appropriate changes to the existing order and kind of dealing with those on a analysis basis. And that would cover all of the various changes that have been proposed through the different alternatives, as opposed to analyzing alternative one with the response and analyzing alternative two with the response. So in other words, I'm saying you deal with the issues kind of in one pass.
Well, in any way that staff wants to do it, there's a lot of things that were raised in the these alternatives that I'd like to see considered in terms of why it's a good idea, why it isn't
right.
a good idea, or what we're doing addresses this that way.
Right.
So that it's, you know, the board has some sense for.
So it's clear.
So it's real clear that way, but also, I mean, there are things in some of the alternatives that I like as components.
Same with us.
Okay. All right. And there are some things in staff's proposal that I would like to look at in a different way. You know, and I think when we get to this next phase here with us sharing our reactions to what we've heard, maybe we can address some of those things. So, should I just go ahead?
Sure.
Okay. All right. First of all, this has really been our board's first opportunity to see what staff has been working on for this period of time. And my initial reaction to the draft order when I saw it was that this is a really good piece of regulatory work that really answers almost all of the problems in terms of water quality. And it would be great if we had one discharger that was a factory or an industrial facility that had, you know, ratepayers they could tap into, and they had a lot of sophisticated technical expertise, you know, to help them do this. And I mean, it's obvious we don't have that situation. Well, we have a very kind of engineered approach to this, which my reaction is it's going to be very, very challenging to do in its present form. And I would like to see it, I'd like staff to consider some things. And let me just kind of go through my notes and tell you what else struck me here. One is, you know, I like an approach that focuses on what the water quality impacts are in terms of like 303 delistings or known locations where there's nitrate in groundwater exceeding drinking water supplies. And I think to treat everybody the same is maybe not necessary. So I think that what might work, and you know, the rest of my board can go ahead and give me their own, share their thoughts on this, is that, you know, there be a kind of a tiered approach to this with us tackling the most severe areas first. And they could be extensive. I just don't know that. I don't know how many miles of 303 delistings we have. And as to the 303 delistings, I don't know, you know, how many miles are related to ag, potential ag contribution, because maybe we're just looking at nitrate and pesticides. So the other thing is, I'd like staff to maybe consider that we don't try to do all this in a five-year permit. And perhaps we look at this as the next stage in this program, this next five-year period. Staff tackles the two biggest problems, and maybe that's nitrate and maybe that's pesticides. And then the other issues of concern, like sediments and the riparian corridor issue and trying to rehabilitate the freshwater habitat and fish habitat, which I think are very important. I think those are very challenging things to tackle all this in a five-year time frame. So perhaps that could be kind of tiered, too. You know, tackle the two, maybe then see how we do with those, and then roll over into the next permit. And I plan on being here for the next one. This stuff is just too interesting, you know, for me to want to get off the board at this point. But commenting on that, I want you guys to remember that when we were here at the first go-around, I do remember the ag community saying, look, we're going to go ahead and do this. We're going to do the cooperative monitoring. But we think we're going to be back here in 2 or 3 years because we think we only have some hot spots of problems. And we want to make sure that we can come back to you and have the monitoring relaxed or changed. And, you know, we said, of course, you can do that. Anybody can come to the board and ask for anything they want, even in the middle of a five-year permit. You know, what the board does about that, you know, is another issue. But everyone has the right to do that. We're here after now, it's more than 5 years. I think we're hitting 6.5 years. And I think what we can say is that we do have a problem. It's not just a few toxic hotspots. I don't think it's necessarily just isolated. It looks like it is more widespread than we initially thought. I think the data confirms that. What do the trends show? I don't really know what the trends show, whether they're going down or up or sideways. I think for me what's most important is we do continue to have elevated levels of these pollutants, and that's really what my concern is. How do we address those? I do like the smart monitoring proposal that I saw. You know, I didn't really understand it when I read it, but I think that it certainly could be an approach that we use that maybe doesn't require, you know, immediate individual monitoring. That would be more of a fallback. You know, I like eliminating things in a watershed, and if we can get down to a stretch where we know we've got a problem, then individual monitoring, I think, would be probably very, very desirable to do. I'd like to know what's going on with the rest of the people that aren't enrolled. Is it, you know, we've got, what, 93% of the acreage, but it looks like there are some numbers that suggest that there are maybe 500, 1,000 people that aren't enrolled. Can staff clarify that for us? And also, can staff clarify what it's doing in terms of identifying who they are and when staff anticipates getting them enrolled? I don't mind moving forward with changes that we build into this order, but I don't want us to fall off and not, you know, aggressively get everyone on board. I like the education requirement. It's like continuing education. I mean, people come and go with farms, and I think that should be an ongoing requirement. Staff will have to kind of clarify for me why it feels that that's not necessary, but I think that there's a huge benefit to it, and the ag community is very supportive of it.
Can I just comment on that?
Sure.
We think education is important too. We just changed it from a requirement. So basically it's recommended as opposed to a requirement. So.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, certainly maintain that requirement.
Right.
I think that's a minor point, actually.
It is, but it is something that I think that you know, was helpful to keep and not let go of. Okay. You know, I'm really kind of at a loss as to how we get our ag advisory panel back working on some of these things, and I don't know, maybe the rest of the board has some thoughts about that. You know, Mr. Briggs reports to the board. The board does not get involved with, you know, who handles our programs. And it's his job to make sure that we have, you know, the right people on board. I have a lot of confidence in the staff that's working on this program. I think what's happened is that the traditional approach of using kind of an engineering concept is maybe not as compatible with such a large body of people and different farming practices up and down, you know, our region. And I think that that's where we're meeting, you know, maybe an inability of these of staff and the ag community to be able to kind of mesh a little bit better. I don't know that bringing Allison Jones back into this would really make any difference at this point. We're almost 2 years into this, to this next permit phase. I'd like us to try to get this together and wrapped up so we can know what we're dealing with and continue with our the monitoring that we're going to agree to and continue to make a lot of headway. I think that, you know, the ag community has done a tremendous job so far. I mean, it pleases me a lot. I know that probably almost everybody feels that they are a very good steward of the land and really wants to do the right thing for the land and the water quality. Unfortunately, some of the agencies that have typically been involved, I think, with ag, like the Department of Food and Ag and maybe the Department of Pesticide Regulation, have not had their eye to water quality the way our agency is empowered to. You know, we've got kind of a narrow focus, and that's what it's on. And I don't know, the DPR really even looks at the toxicity issue in the water column. They do, huh? Okay. Well, one of my thoughts was that it would be good to have DPR get involved with what we're trying to do, at least in terms of the toxicity issues for that. I may have some other thoughts, but why don't I go ahead and... Who wants to talk next? Mr. Schell. I did. Well, but I invite disagreement from the board. I want you to know that.
Well, that's why you're chair.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't... may I go next, Mr.
Chair? You may, Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah. I don't want to be redundant with the chair is already, but I'll just try to go through some of these things. I wrote some notes during the presentations. But I want to start off from... basically the beginning of 2004. As a board member, I had questions about enrolling all the ag community within a five-year period and whether we had enough staff to do that enrollment, and then the requirements of monitoring that was supposed to be submitted to the staff, would we have enough staff to analyze that? And my question again to Mr. Briggs and the staff, with all the requirements that you're asking for this, probably it'll be 2011 waiver, are we going to have enough staff to analyze all the information that you're requesting from the ag community? The other issue that I raised, and it was a number of issues, but another one that was really important, I thought, was proprietary information in the farm plans. I know as a businessman that when I'm in competition with other businesses that I don't like to give up my proprietary information to make it public. And when you're asking these business people to supply that kind of information to this type of board, it becomes public. We have no choice. So I have some real concerns that with that type of information even being asked for, but on the other hand, I think there was a proposal that their farm plan would have some of that information, and it would be posted at the individual ranches or farms where it could be reviewed at that particular time. Tiered approach, I really like that tiered approach, but I'm wondering, can we, instead of doing a 5-year waiver, can we do a 10-year waiver and build those tiers within that 10 years? I don't know if that's possible or not.
I think we can. I think the law requires that waivers expire. Yeah. I think we're stuck with the 5-year.
Well, maybe we should.
Can I just clarify that? You don't have to require compliance with everything within 5 years. You just have to renew it within 5 years.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you have flexibility in the term of the waiver.
Well, I'm just
not an NPDES permit.
Throwing that out, and why I'm bringing that up, and I think, Mr. Chair, you brought up the tiered, but I wanted to expand that with a tiered approach, then the ag community can look not only 5 years down the road, but they can look 10 years down the road. And this is the same thing as looking at budgets, which you look long-range, short-range budgets, long-range budget. But I hope the staff would look at that and consider that. Tailwaters and tile drains. I'm really concerned because I'm from the Salinas area. We have probably the best productive ground west of Salinas in the Blanco area. And without the tile drains, you might as well just take all that land and take it out of production because you won't be able to farm without the tile drains. How we handle that, you know, I'm not an engineer, but I think there's a lot smarter people around that can probably resolve that particular issue. But it is an issue, and I'm very concerned with that because that deals with a lot of economy in the Salinas area. The buffers, I've spoke to this board about the riparian buffers, thank you, over a period of the last couple years, especially when the food and safety came out where they want us to remove all that vegetation because of the animals encroaching upon ag lands. That puts the agriculture community in a bind between food and safety and the Regional Water Quality Control Board because we're saying that you have to have those type of buffers for runoffs to filter out the sediment loads and so forth. But then the food and safety is saying, well, if you have those, then you're going to cause problems with E. coli and other types of issues with agriculture. I'm very pleased with the ag community because I kind of challenged them that they said they had a way to do this ag waiver to bring forth, and they did, and I'm very pleased with that they submitted it promptly, and it was very precise, and it was easy to understand. I am very, very pleased that somebody finally did a financial analysis of what this really meant in dollars and cents. We have a $4 to $6 billion industry in the state of California, and especially in the Salinas, and especially Region 3. I don't want to do anything to deter that because that is a very important economy to the whole state of California. Not only the Salinas area, which I'm from, which I said, but we have rules and regulations and laws that we have to contend with. So how does that fit with that? I would like, and somebody, you know, was saying, where do we go from here? The staff laid out what their proposal is, where we go. I would like to see the ag community and the staff come together again and have the advisory committee sit down. Now that we have the two proposals, now they've been kind of aired out in this workshop, and we'll have another one in July in Watsonville, and try to resolve the issues and come up with some common ground. I really don't think you're that far apart if you really analyze the whole process. So I'm challenging my staff, and I'm challenging the agriculture community to get your advisory committees back together. And if you need a moderator, I'm sure we can provide somebody to help with that and start up the process again.
I'll stop.
And we have someone from the State Water Board, Gita, who, why don't you tell us how you can fit into that process?
My name is Gita Kapayan. I was the facilitator for part of the ag panel. I'm happy to offer my services again. I think that we did reach some commonality. There was some common ground. Right now, you've got basically two differing proposed orders. And I think that if we went back and tried to work on some areas where there is some commonality, we work through some of the issues we heard today, perhaps we could get somewhere. And I suggest that, you know, at the panels, whatever their schedule is, maybe we can work something out between now and the July meeting, or whenever you want to. But we don't have a lot of time before the November draft is due by the regional board staff. So I offer up my services as a facilitator to try and work with the group. I've worked with them in the past. I know the issues. I know the people. Hopefully we can work together, because I think there was some, we were almost there, and then things kind of broke down, and perhaps we can get to somewhere where we've got a common solution. So.
Okay. I think you're very optimistic, Russ, in that.
I have confidence.
I know. I have confidence too, but I think that at least at this point they may not be as close as you may perceive them to be. But
well, I can remember.
I have confidence they will get closer with a little massaging. Okay.
But I can remember 4 years ago we thought the same thing, and there are some very bright people out there that can handle this and get the groups together again. They may not resolve all the issues.
Right.
That may come back to us for us to make those decisions, but I think they can get closer together. And the hour is getting late, so
okay.
I'll probably have more comments in July.
Okay, Mr. Shallcross?
Yeah, I've been crossing them off as you guys have been saying, so hopefully this will be short. Oh, I do want to reiterate the education element. I like it. I think it should be a requirement, and even 15 hours in 5 years would be great, but, you know, you guys can work it out. Because someone said it's a small thing. I don't think it's a small thing. I think it's a major thing. To me, that's just one of the best parts of the whole program. The timelines, I'd really like to see, and I also with Mr. Jeffries, I know he didn't mean to leave out the Steve Shimmick's alternative and those folks either out of this coming together board.
You're right.
Okay.
I mean, everybody was involved.
Okay, good. Timelines, I think we can work those out. They need to be reasonable. And, you know, it's something that I think we take for granted. There's a couple things like reasonable extensions on timelines if things don't go right. Our board and our staff has generally been real, real good about, you know, looking at specific situations, but I think it needs to be actually put out expressly so that folks know that that's there. The other thing that I think needs to be expressed, even though we always do it, is give people credit for good faith efforts. Because that was a concern of someone's. We always do that, but let's spell it out. I'd like to see, there was a lot of folks, I don't know what the paperwork involved here is. You know, no one likes any kind of paperwork. Any paperwork's too much. I don't know if it's too much or not, but I'd like staff to look at that and see if there isn't some way they can reduce the paperwork. I like the idea of having the farm plan on the site, like I think is it our SWIPs that are on site for other, is that what those are, SWIPs?
Yeah,
they're on site. We don't, that doesn't need to be public stuff. I'd like to see that, I like the tiers thing, I'd like to see maybe some, I mean, just look at this, I'm not saying that this is what I want, but maybe an acreage, someone who has 2 acres maybe is in a different situation. Also on the tier thing, maybe monitoring could be tiered. Maybe people who live in really hot spots might have to do some other kind of monitoring. Maybe people who are in hot spots are the ones that have to do the individual monitoring rather than people who are, you know, living in watersheds that aren't impacted. So I think there's a way to structure the monitoring too, possibly. You just might want to look at that. I think there's certainly an interesting tension between keeping proprietary and trade secrets secret with the public accountability. So I think that's something that's real touchy, and I think you guys can work it out. Some things just can't be made public, but we need to work out how that can work. So I did like the idea of Gordon individual WDRs, but then that presents a whole other huge mess that we don't want to get into. So I think the waiver is the most efficient way to get there, rather than have each farmer come in and do an individual permit. On the legal issues, I love the farm, the ag folks' presentation until the lawyers came out. Now, I realize, though, some of the problems, some of the issues are that legally you think certain things, and I think legally our attorneys would have an answer to that. And I would, not only would I like to get a memo on these issues, but I would like our attorney at some point to, you know, send some sort of response to your attorneys, and maybe even if, you know, you can always get two attorneys to disagree on anything, but... you know, maybe at the end of the day, this has to be settled. It has to be adjudged someplace. But I would like to respond to that and not just let it go by the wayside just because we might think you're wrong. So I think you deserve some answers to that, to those issues. Farms that are doing a really good job and have done a good job are really on the right track. Is there some way we can make it easier for them to show that to us? I don't know. It just seems like people who are doing a real good job may not have to have the same level of monitoring and stuff, just as long as they can show it. Maybe they can show us that they're not even discharging. So, but let's, maybe there's an easy way for them to show that. And you're probably going to do this, but I think maybe we need to, the staff needs to meet with the nursery folks separately and work out some stuff with them. Either do what they say or don't, but make it so that everyone's happy. And I think that's it for now. Thank you. Oh, and I just wanted to thank the ag folks and Steve Schimmick for both presentations. I thought they both had really good points, and I really hope we can work something out. This has been a really good process, I think, where all sides have actually produced something that they think is going to work, as opposed to how it usually works is, you know, the staff comes up with something and then everyone hates it. So I think this is really great. I really appreciate all your folks' time.
Okay. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I too will try to keep this brief because I agree with a lot of what I've already heard in terms of looking at specific ways in which to modify the permit or the waiver that we have in front of us. I'm just going to skip through or just kind of run through my list really quickly just so y'all know where I stand. I like a number of things that I heard today, of course. And I was glad to see that staff, in your presentation, you actually targeted about a half a dozen things that you're already considering changing, including the nursery requirements, the smart monitoring, and some of the things that have been mentioned already. So I was really pleased to see that you picked up on some of the issues that seemed to make sense, had some practical consideration to them while still achieving the goals. I think requiring the education in 15 hours would be important for lots of reasons, and we heard that today from the community comments. One thing we didn't hear, and which I saw in a couple of letters at least, were the idea that regarding groundwater, that the county groundwater planning efforts, monitoring, and research that's going on, that maybe we can do some coordinating in those areas where we have the priority watersheds, and we have active process going on with the counties. I think that could be very productive, again, to allow the farmers to benefit from the work that's going on, the data that's being generated, and to figure out then what makes sense for them to be doing to be more specific about what kinds of management changes they need to make specific to their operations. I think the tiered approach and phasing, I think, is going to be essential. But along with that, I do want to figure out, and I realize the complication of this, how to ensure that we can focus on the short-term actions that are practical that address drinking water issues, because that is huge for the Salinas Valley especially. So, but there are considerations. I heard and saw in the letters many folks commenting on the lack of technical capacity, lack of technical support to move in a broad-scale way, to begin to be more structured in the way we monitor and in the BMPs that get applied. So we need to consider what are the resources to support this action. I want to point out to staff, and I'm sure you noticed, Daniel Mountjoy's comment about coordinating priorities so that they have a chance at NRCS to identify federal resources that can be brought to bear in a structured and coordinated way, so that short-term, long-term, and short-term, the federal government is not going to be able to meet our needs, but in the long-term sense, coordinating with NRCS might really be beneficial to us. I think the federal government has great interest in this area, and they've been great supporters in consistently supplying money through the Farm Bureaus and other programs. I also am concerned about farm plan proprietary issues, but I appreciate the offer to develop a different kind of report. And I take that in the context that many of you said the paperwork is going to kill us, but yet you came forward with an option that I think has merit, which is to develop a different kind of report. Maybe it's a checklist. I saw a sample possibility from Monterey County that might give us a template, but that's something that the advisory panel could work on with staff to decide the real essential information that we need for water quality assessment. Another negative is the need to coordinate with food safety. It's a huge issue, lots of pressure coming from lots of different directions, and the solutions are very complicated. And science is part of the process of informing what the real problem is, and I'm hoping that also informs the buyers at the same time. I mean, they're standing by on the sideline putting pressure on people. Where's the science that's informing their priorities and their decisions? Hopefully we can make the connections there and get some linkages with good science back to the buyers to say, no, this is not the problem that you think it is. You know, here's how this problem is really playing out, at least in the Central Valley, in the Central Coast region. I would like to suggest one thing that I've heard and read in the letters was a lack of information going back to the stakeholders. And so perhaps in a long-term sense, staff could structure into the process something like this workshop or something like a kind of a point at which we sum up what we've achieved. And we do then have the opportunity to recognize where BMPs are being effective, the effort and the cost that the ag community is putting forward to implement change, the trends that are associated with that change, and where we don't see the right changes in the trends. So I think we need to structure in a formal day like today to hear all about it. We've had, by that point, in the second permit, we will have had 10 years of effort, and I'm hoping that we will see the kinds of changes that we're already beginning to get a glimpse of, that many of you are saying, you're seeing the right changes, but we need a few more years given the monitoring program has only been in place for, 3.5 years, I heard today, something like that. I think last I would just sum up, and you've heard me say this before, I think I even said it back in October, and that is, we are not targeting the ag community as the you know, only solution to water quality problems. If you're not aware, and I know you are aware of TMDLs, but if you're not aware of the stormwater programs, all of these efforts are a holistic program that the Regional Board staff has designed over a number of years now to hopefully come up with a more efficient, more effective way of addressing the problems on a holistic basis so that we are actually connecting the dots. So that we heard today that there's data now that shows the difference between upstream and ag area and urban area and ag area again before it discharges to the ocean, and we can actually discern the differences. That's going to help bring urban areas into compliance and also bear some of the cost of cleaning up water quality. So this is a very broad set of programs that are aimed at accomplishing necessary change. Some of it is groundwater and drinking water directed. Some of it is ecosystem and wildlife driven. But clearly, it is a broad set of actions that we're taking, and the farmers are not being singled out by any means. Today, it feels that way because that's all we talked about. But that, I believe me, across the year, we do look at urban areas as well, and the pressure on them is growing. And the costs are going to increase because they have a role to play in cleaning up water quality. So I will just sum up by saying I hope that this workshop is the first step, and I'm hopeful, like Mr. Jeffries, that we will restore the stakeholder process because it has to be part of moving forward. Clearly, you all have given a lot of thoughtful comment and input to ideas that are going to help shape the waiver, and some of them have already taken hold with staff. You've heard from board members today now that they are beginning to see things differently. I join that process, and I'm hoping you will begin to see things differently. I hope you heard things today that also broadened your view on why we're trying to take the actions we're taking. I know I was glad to see the drinking water issue become more of a community-defined issue. Because otherwise it's just a lot of statistics and we don't really understand what that all means. But we had some people that made a trip from long distances to share with us what's happening in their community, because we could head in that direction. We could head to a time when not addressing these problems now, and I know it's a 20 to 30 year, 40, 50 year lead on groundwater cleanup, but if we don't address it, we will continue to see it get worse. So status quo is not something I can support. So I'm going to end there, and thank you again, all of you, for making your trip here today and for your thoughtful comments and help in this process.
Mr. Hodgen, any comments you want to make?
Yes, I want to say that I think that today's meeting was very helpful to me, with the exception that there was some disagreement about facts. There were some points brought up. Resulted in 5 pages of notes that I made of things I'm going to have to work on after today. So you didn't do me any favor. I guess, in addition to things that have already been said, I think that I wanted to, I want to also say that I support the idea of reinstating the advisory panel. I think that's a good idea. I also want to make sure that the costs that we impose by creating this waiver are really justified by the results. And I don't mean just the cost for farmers, for example. I think that there are also costs of imposing a lot of additional work on the water board staff. And does that mean we have to have more staff, and how are we going to pay for that? The state has plenty of bills already to take care of. So I think I'll be watching very closely to try to make sure that we're getting a clear benefit from any of these expenses that we're imposing. That's about all I have.
Okay, thank you. I had a couple of last thoughts. And this has to do with the information gathering requirement. Francis, I think that if we ask for trade secrets, that we are entitled to redact that if we have to share any documentation. Isn't that right?
Yeah, there's a provision of the water code that requires us to protect proprietary information. And it can be used by the staff, and it can be used for enforcement purposes, but it cannot be provided to the public. Now, there's a specific kinds of information that would qualify as proprietary information, so not every kind of information that might be included in a waiver would be subject to that protection, but things like application of, you know, the details about application of fertilizers and pesticides and things like that might be among those. But monitoring of groundwater and surface water discharges would not be, for example.
Well, could staff, you know, provide some description of that?
Yes. I mean, could they?
Of that? Yeah. In other words, what would be considered a trade secret that would be protected and what wouldn't be? I'm just curious about that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, separately from that, I just have a big question as to how much information do we really need to do what needs to be done. So, I mean, do we really need to know how many pounds of fertilizer are being applied per acre? And these are rhetorical questions. I'm concerned about what happens in the receiving waters in terms of whether standards are being exceeded. That's my focus. If someone can figure out how to use more fertilizer and not, you know, pollute, I don't care. Same with water. You know, if they can use more water but not have that cause an exceedance of something, I don't know that we need to be concerned about that. So perhaps staff can educate us as to how it sees, you know, the value and utility of a lot of this information. I'm not too concerned. Let's see. Just lost my train of thought on that. About keeping information. Yeah. It's fine with me if information is kept on the farm. I don't know that. I mean, staff needs to maybe explain why it feels it would be helpful to bring all that into the office or have it on hard drives and how that would help in the absence of more direct causal links with, you know, water quality exceedances. And how are you going to analyze all of it and keep up to date with it? I mean, we want you to also do enforcement. We want you to catch up on all the unenrolled people, and I don't want that to fall behind in this. I think that's about it, but although I want the ag community to know that the water quality issues that have been identified are real. They've got to be addressed, okay? The aquatic habitat beneficial uses, they're somewhat more obscure and maybe not as tangible to us as drinking water. But they are real, they are important. The board has to protect those and restore those like everything else. I'm interested in how we can, you know, prioritize those impacts with the nitrates and the toxicity. And perhaps this permit should look like, this next waiver should look like a 10-year plan, and that we do renew it in 5 years, but we've considered these other components, and so how we're going to get to them. Maybe we can start thinking about that and kind of lay the framework for that. I know Dr. Hunter touched on that, and I think that would be, you know, a good way to go with this. So that's it. Before I say goodbye to everybody, I'd like to thank our interpreters for the job they've done all day long. I know that is not easy. So thank you very much.
MCHP.
Yes.
We have a suggested comment period deadline for the next workshop, June 4th.
Right.
Could we receive the because that's an integral part of the ag waiver. We did not receive it on February 1st.
Mm. Yeah.
The July workshop is proposed as essentially a continuation of this workshop, where it's just to give additional opportunity for comments on the available information and allow any commenters that are in the northern part of our region who couldn't make it down today to be able to come and make the same presentation to you. So we didn't envision focusing on putting out any additional information that would make it a different workshop.
When do you think you're going to have that?
I'm baffled because I'm trying to figure out I'm not sure what our next steps are in terms of working with stakeholders and whatnot, and I actually wanted to make a couple comments in response to what I heard, if you're willing, on a couple minutes. We can set a date to do that, but we wanted to explore some of these issues that we heard, so we haven't scheduled it.
What does staff propose to have for the board and the public to be able to look at before the next workshop?
Just a summary of any additional comments that we receive. We haven't even finished posting or providing some of the comments that we received prior to today.
Okay.
Because they came in after the April 1st.
Okay.
So we haven't summarized even all the comments you've gotten up till today. We anticipate if it becomes known and we notice this additional workshop, we might receive even yet some more additional comments.
Are we going to get some detailed comments on all the alternatives? Are we going to get some detailed comments on the alternatives?
Again, we weren't proposing to do that. I guess that's a possibility. We provided some preliminary analysis in the staff report that we prepared for today, and again, we were just trying to give opportunity for additional comment. Okay. Our proposal is really to be able to take what we have on paper right now and who has made these recommendations and be able to get to digest what they've offered, what they've said, and to be able to get together with them and to work through them. Sitting in a vacuum and further analyzing the alternatives, I'm not sure how effective that will be. We'd really like to talk to the proposers of these alternatives and to the other interested stakeholders and try to wrestle with some of these key issues.
I think that was our version of the advisory panel, basically, is getting together with those folks.
Yeah.
Mr. Shalcroft?
Yeah, I think I don't know if folks have the wrong idea about the July meeting. It's a continuation of this. We were going to have one workshop, but people wanted to have a northern workshop too. So there really shouldn't be any new information coming out between now and then. I would rather have staff work on, with the advisory group. And working on that. The only purpose that I saw, anyway, going north was to give people a chance up there to weigh in.
I just want to get my questions answered. That's all.
I don't think
all.
We need to give staff extra work.
Okay.
Can I make another comment about specifically working with the advisory panel? A lot of the comments that we've gotten, a lot of the engagement that we've had in the last few months was going beyond the individuals that were actually on the panel. Some of them fall into some of the same interest groups, if you will, like nursery folks. I'm a little concerned about closing it back down now that we've opened it up and are talking with a much broader group of stakeholders. So I'm wondering if we could have some flexibility to open up, not necessarily assume that we mean the exact same representatives confined by the numbers and the individuals, but also to make sure that we have representation, because there's other issues that have been brought to our attention that we've been looking at in the order that weren't represented by or even in the proposals that we got from the environmental and the ag alternative from the panel
Mr. Merrill.
Members.
Can I offer this? In the interest of moving forward and getting together with the panel, I'm not sure that the panel, as it were set up, is going to work again. But what I would like to propose is that you do just what you're talking about. You can meet with the ag representatives to go over our proposal and go over what works and what doesn't, a real workshop with us. You could do the same thing with the environmental community. Maybe do it one or two times, and then, if necessary, put the two together. But take those steps. Don't try to put all those people in the same room again. It's not a good idea.
Okay.
I really appreciate you standing up and saying that, because what we have found is that by meeting in smaller groups with like-interested people or experts on specific issues, we've been able to get down to much more meaningful conversations about what we really need to do with this order and how to start to solve the problems. And I think that's a really excellent solution.
Okay.
And I would like to also say, it is important. I know that you guys are swamped with things to do, so are we. But the MRP is a crucial component of the whole plan. And not having seen that makes it difficult to negotiate the rest of the waiver. So we can talk about the things that we brought up in the proposal, but until we get the MRP, it's difficult to move ahead. And so July may be ambitious.
Well, so then how about we retreat and try to determine a time when we can have something put together to bring to you, and we'll get together and talk about it. Another option is that we actually sit down sooner and work on, again, with the ideas that have been brought forward in the proposals and with where staff sat in developing their ideas about it, that we try to work up a straw proposal or a joint proposal rather than...
I just wanted to point that out. It's an important component of it. We're willing to sit down with you, but I want to... I need to say it has to be a collaborative back and forth get together. It can't be a dictatorial meeting from staff saying this is what we're going to do and that's it. So we are willing to sit down with you as long as there's back and forth. And I want to make that really clear.
Yeah, and I think staff has heard how we feel about maybe prioritizing things and having a time schedule that is much broader than maybe staff anticipated. So I think staff is going to hopefully take that into consideration when they sit down to try to look at how they may want to revise what they have in front of us right now.
Sure, so we're open, and we'll wait to hear from you, and we'll set up a meeting. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you. I wanted to thank our Highway Patrol officers that have been here all day standing up.
I had a comment to make about anadromous fish restoration. There may not be as many conflicts with the ag community as people think. NIMS has introduced a Central Coast Coho Salmon Recovery Plan, and I've seen some of the maps. And the priority one for the first phase of restoration are not necessarily in ag areas because those water bodies are more impaired.
Did you submit this to us to review?
No, I can. I will.
If you would
submit
it
to
give
you.
It to staff, yeah. and staff
yeah.
will.
But I think if you're considering a tiered plan, that coordinating, looking at the ways in which you can coordinate with the NIMS plan would be really essential.
Good. Okay. Well, all right, folks. Thank you very much.
Can I just get some clarification? Because several of you, maybe all of you, said reconvene the advisory panel. And you've heard from us that we would like to continue with the collaborative approach that we've been using. And we just heard support for that approach from Kevin Merrill.
That's what we meant.
That's fine.
That's what we meant.
That's what you meant. No. Okay.
That's what I meant.
That's what I thought. I want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Dr. Right. Hunter, is that what we meant? Okay, that's what we meant. All right. So thank you all for coming.
Thanks,
and
everybody.
So this will continue up in Watsonville in July. All right? Thank you. Good night.